Hi everybody, this is Rick, and with me today I have Mike Calvo from Saratech, and he'll be talking to us about his new product, System Access to Go. Hi Mike, welcome, and how are you doing today?
Good man, just getting ready for conference, gallivanting around the country, as we do at this time of year.
Yeah, I hear you'll be at both conferences this year.
Yep, I have the pleasure of speaking at the NFB conference this year in Atlanta to the computer science group. And we, of course, will have a booth going on at ACB. And Matt Campbell will be addressing our developer, will be addressing the BITS group. So it should be relatively interesting for people that don't get to go to the conferences. I'm sure there'll be recordings available, and of course your questions here. So one way or the other, the information will get out that we have to share.
Great. I assume you'll be talking about System Access to Go there.
Among other things, we think that System Access to Go, I mean, it's System Access to Go and other things that we're doing, it's really been an awesome year for us at Saratech with just innovation after innovation, and really what we consider to be products that are going to revolutionize blind people's computing experience. And while I understand that the term revolutionize from time to time has been overused with respect to telephones and all that kind of stuff, I think that as we delve into what Saratech is doing and what we expect it to do for the community, you'll really agree with me, and your readers and listeners will agree that what we're doing is nothing short of revolutionary.
Great. Okay, well, I have a series of questions for you from some of the listeners out there, so if you'd like to start, we'll go ahead and start.
Well, let's do it.
Okay, tell us about who should be using System Access to Go and what are the system requirements for it.
Okay. Well, as you may or may not know, I know you know, but as some of your listeners may or may not know, System Access to Go is the world's first web-based accessibility tool. And the reason we call it a web-based accessibility tool is because System Access to Go, just like our System Access product, is much more than a screen reader. The way we like to the analogy we like to use for that, Rick, is kind of about 15 years ago, a product was released into the automobile market that was not quite a van, not quite a truck, not quite a car. You could use it to drag your boat. You could use it to take your kids to soccer practice. You could use it to carry your golf clubs. And you could also use it as a recreational vehicle out in the Everglades here in Florida, where I live, or to climb mountains or whatnot. That vehicle ended up being what we know today is a pretty common word called the SUV. Now, some people, or the sports utility vehicle, now some people still call it a car, because that's just the term that everybody uses for their method of transportation that isn't a Ford pickup, you know. But it is a sports utility vehicle, and it does lots of things that a car does, but it does many more things that a car cannot. And that's kind of the way we look at System Access and the System Access line of products. We do many of the things that your traditional screen readers will do, such as access Windows applications, access the operating system, access Office applications for Office 2003 and Office 2007, access the internet through Internet Explorer and things of that nature. But we do a lot more than that. We provide remote access to your home computer, for example. We provide a very, very simplified user interface. We provide access to computers on the go by allowing you to put our System Access product on a U3 thumb drive or on a CD. So you can just walk up to a computer and plug it in or put it into the CD player, and within seconds, without any installation, have access. Now, as if that's not exciting enough, recently, as you know, we released a product called System Access to Go. And what that means is that any blind person on the planet can walk up to a connected computer to the internet running Windows XP or later. And of course, if there's a sound card installed with speakers, they can do a Windows key plus R, and the run dialog will appear. They can type in www.statogo.com, and within seconds, literally, have access not only to the internet, but have access to all of their Serotech services, all of their remote access products, the remote access to our network, and a full-blown access technology that, again, will give them the tools that a common screen reader gives them, plus so much more. And that is without installing anything on the local computer, simply by following some verbal instructions given to you to allow a small applet to run within the temporary windows, within the temporary folders of IE or Internet Explorer that are opened up for use by web applications. And within a couple seconds, you'll actually have accessibility anywhere, which is, of course, our slogan, as you may know.
Great, great. What are the system requirements? Who can run System Access to Go?
The system requirements are Windows XP or later, which includes Windows XP Home and Windows XP Pro, Service Pack 2 or later, Windows the 2003 Server Edition, of course, all flavors of Windows Vista. It requires Internet Explorer. Let me qualify that, though. It requires Internet Explorer if you want to be able to run it by yourself. You can use it with Firefox, but it's not going to be as seamless an experience, and it will not be as simple an experience for a totally blind person to use Firefox, simply because Firefox will not allow you to run anything from the web. It will only allow you to save things. And to do SA2Go properly, you just need to run. You're not saving anything. As a matter of fact, the moment you shut SA2Go down or you're dormant for a certain period of time, SA2Go just kind of disappears off the machine and wipes itself clean. That way, none of your personal information is left behind at all, not even, you know, any of your usernames or passwords or any of that stuff that you use during the session, which are sent by SSL anyway, but any kind of cookies and things like that that we leave are wiped away. That's about it. Of course, as with any other adaptive technology for the blind, speakers are necessary. An internet connection is necessary. We prefer for people not to be using dial-up. Dial-up is flaky at best. And really, with the proficiency of broadband that there is across the country, and even with the low cost of it, it really doesn't it doesn't make sense for people to use dial-up. Which brings me to the places that you would use System Access to Go. We do not encourage System Access to Go for home use. Now, that doesn't mean if you go to Aunt Betty or Uncle Bob's house, or you know, or you're visiting somewhere that there's a public computer there, that you shouldn't use it, but it is not made to replace your current adaptive technology. If anything, this is kind of like your cell phone would be used. You know, you have your home phone, and when you're on the go, you use your cell phone. Well, this is kind of accessibility on the go that you would use instead of having to install your own screen reader or adaptive technology solution. You would just use this, and when you're done with it, you just kind of throw it away like you would a Kleenex.
That's a good analogy. So for the people that are saying that basically they don't want to replace System Access to Go with their screen readers they're currently using, you, I'm assuming, would basically say, well, no, that's what we don't want you to do that.
No, right? I mean, we have products that one could use instead of a screen reader. As a member of this community, I applaud the efforts of all other adaptive technology companies and really tell you we're here to enhance the use of a blind person's digital life. I mean, if you want to replace your current adaptive technology solution, whether it be a screen reader or what have you, or a note taker or whatever, with ours because you feel that it fits you better, well, hallelujah. We're certainly not going to turn your money down. But at the same time, if you're happy with your solution, by all means, it's not an all or nothing thing. I mean, once we get out of public beta, I'm sure that the pricing is going to be very, very reasonable. We don't want to break the bank. We understand that some blind folks are on very low incomes, and really providing accessibility for everybody, accessibility anywhere. You know, at Serotech, we believe, Rick, that accessibility is a right. It's not an option. You shouldn't have to choose if something is going to be accessible or not. You have the right to, you know, to have accessibility. Is air, the air you breathe, a right? So it's the same thing. Accessibility is not an option. It's a right. You shouldn't have to, you know, determine, well, am I going to buy groceries or pay for my adaptive technology solution this month? And which means that we need to appropriately price our solution to where people can have it everywhere and, you know, have it everywhere and still be able to go everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So they're not held back everywhere.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. What would you say about the people that are saying, well, since SA2Go is potentially going to be so cheap, what would you say to the people that say, well, I'm going to go ahead and use it in the home because I can't afford anything else?
Well, first of all, there for people who can't afford anything else in the way of an actual screen reader, okay, there are solutions out there like NVDA and Thunder that are doing a pretty good job at, you know, at helping people with day-to-day computing. Now, if you want to get complicated and get into Office and do this and do that and just do various things that people do in a day-to-day, NVDA or Thunder may not be a total solution, but those guys are really making some headway. We support the NVDA project. We've contributed code to that, and we continue to do so. So we applaud those efforts. I don't recommend that people do it. But listen, if a bike is the only way you have of getting around because you can't afford a car, who am I to deny you the right to ride a bike? I mean, I can't tell you it's going to provide every little bit of accessibility that you're going to need at home. The product does require you to be connected to the internet. So if you've got an always-on connection at home, and you don't mind loading up the SA2Go when you walk into your computer, and you don't mind if you walk away for 20 minutes that it's gone after that, and you got to come back and reload it and all that stuff. And if that's what you got to do, look, by all means, it's accessibility anywhere. And to that end, we tell you, use it anywhere. There are some places better than most. When you use your cell phone at home, sometimes you got to go near a window, right? Because, you know, but if you don't have home phone service, you know, then what choice do you got? Is the cell phone company going to tell you you're forbidden from using it at home? You know, you're not forbidden. It's just not just something that you comfortably
use. It's not normally what you would expect.
Yeah, well, some of us actually, I actually use a cell phone all the time and pay the price for it, both literally and figuratively. In certain parts of my home, it doesn't work right. I actually had to get one of those cell phone boosters to get coverage in my home, and it works better, but it's still a good old landline is always better than a cell phone. But a cell phone will do the trick 80% of the time or 90% of the time, and frankly, so will System Access to Go.
Okay.
You know, but if you, you know, I mean, we're not going to, you're not going to see a day, and this is a, you know, this is a fact. System Access to Go is an exact duplicate of System Access, which is the product that people pay $499 for. Okay, and you can have it for whatever we're going to charge after the beta. And you're going to have it for a monthly charge. But it's not going to be as convenient. It's not going to work when your computer is offline. There are going to be some limitations because it is an online application.
Right.
So, I mean, that's about the long and the short of it.
Okay. Well, that's a good answer because a lot of people have been asking. Okay.
By the way, Rick, I mean, one thing that I would like to extend out to the community, there are plenty of places that we as a community can meet. As the founder and CEO of Serotech Corporation, the leader of online technology for our community, I would extend that invitation that it take place on our network or on a For the People or on the other talking communities, any of these types of chat services where we could all get up and have a town meeting of sorts and folks can ask questions. I think that it's important for AT vendors to stay in touch with the community in public forums, not censored forums, not pre-recorded forums. I mean, this is great that you and I are getting together here, but it could be argued that it's not as dynamic as it could be with a public town hall meeting type of thing. I think that transportation has always been a challenge for us blind folks. And with the internet, really, we have just killed that barrier. We now have the ability to speak. You're in Ohio, I'm in Florida. We've spanned thousands of miles simply with a conversation here. And if we really chose to bring in, 500 or 5,000 of our closest friends on the internet, we could do that through various technologies. So I would just put that out there. And the day that anybody wants to hold a public forum and invite me to answer probing questions about our technologies and our company goals and aspirations and our the way we think and why we do what we do at Serotech, I would certainly be open to that.
Yeah, that would be great. I've thought about that myself and just wondered how we would pull that off, but that's certainly
I think we need to do more of that. I think that the blindness community, Rick, is coming into a new era. There really is a paradigm shift taking place in our community where people are realizing that they have the power. They have the power to make decisions for themselves. They have the power to understand their own and shape their own destinies because the internet has become the level playing field and that great equalizer that we require as a community to be able to compete on an equal basis with our sighted peers and sighted counterparts. I mean, a blind person can have everything from groceries to entertainment delivered to their home just by writing an email, just by filling out information on a web page. And the rest of the world is finding it's just as convenient for them to do the same. So tell me if that's not, equal. Granted, we've got a long way to go with making some of these things accessible. But by working together, by conversing together, by fighting together, laughing together, crying together, even getting frustrated with each other, we will finally work this puppy out and make it work to our advantage. We're a people that have always, one way or the other, overcome. And I'm proud to be a member of this community and, of course, one of the people that feels personally responsible for shaping it. And there's no difference between me and that person out there that hasn't founded a company. I didn't come up with millions of dollars to do this. I had a dream and put a web page together and grew it into a company that now is recognized in dozens of countries across the planet as a leader in adaptive technology. And that's anybody else can do that.
Okay. What do you say then about those who say your product may be evolutionary, but it's certainly not revolutionary?
Well, quantify that. evolutionary means that something evolves. Revolutionary means that something totally changes the way that things are done. Well, let's see. With adaptive technology, whether it be a screen reader or a screen enlargement package or any costly adaptive technology solution, one would A, have to be looking for a job. One would B, have to go through hours and hours of training. One would C, have to go to a rehab agency to get any of A or B done. In most cases, our product A lowers the price of that accessibility down to pennies per day once this product is released to the market. And even with our current products, they're still half the cost of any other adaptive technology on the market, hands down. The learning curve on our products is simple to very little. I wouldn't say none because that would be awfully arrogant. But I believe it's very, very little learning compared to other products on the market, simply because we believe in automatic versus stick. Do we do everything other adaptive technologies do? No. Do we apologize for that? No. I mean, you know, why? Why should we? If we did exactly, we're not looking to replace other adaptive technologies. That's not. We're not here to eat up the market. The reality of it is, if that were the case, Rick, there's a whole lot of market that still needs to be served. You've got millions of blind people in this community in the United States alone. Let's just look at the states. If the leaders in adaptive technology throughout the last 20 years have been able to facilitate the needs of, 100,000 blind people out of the millions of totally blind people, I would say that there's a whole lot of serving left to be done. They can keep their market share. We want the rest of it. You know, I mean, I'm out to get the rest of it. I'm not interested in current users of adaptive technologies to make my company a success. That's not what success means to me as a CEO, and it certainly isn't what success means to me as a member and a shaper of this community.
What do you think about SA2Go, you know, revolutionizing, say, you know, access in other countries? You know, I know here, you know, in the United States and Canada, you know, and other, I guess you would say, industrial companies or countries, it's going to be, you know, real easy to use SA2Go. Do you see SA2Go being used maybe in some of the less developed countries and, you know, being being revolutionary there?
Well, I think it's revolutionary everywhere. I think that, you know, it's interesting when you look at something like Google, okay? We take Google for granted, but think about the kid in, you know, in some underserved, underdeveloped country somewhere that all he needs is an internet connection. And he can type in google.com just like you can, just like I can. Okay, and he can have access to the plethora of information Google has to offer. The same way that kid, were he blind, would be able to type in www.satogo.com and have access to the same adaptive technology that you and I have. That's powerful. That is revolutionary. When you consider that a blind person can walk into any public situation here in the U.S. or anywhere else abroad and do that, and a kid in a developing country could do the same, you know, that takes the haves and have-nots that has commonly been the case in our community and kind of puts it on its head, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely.
You know, and that doesn't just apply for the person who's sitting at home on SSI. There's people in other countries that, you know, what you make on SSI is what they make in a lifetime or a year or 2 years. You know, if they can. Here, we're opening the doors. Here, we're opening the floodgates of accessibility to people for pennies. And, you know, with the SA2Go technology, hey, there is absolutely no reason why we can't go to a country's government or other caring agencies within that country and say, let's talk about a site license. Let's provide SA2Go absolutely free to your citizens for pennies per blind person. And they can walk into any internet cafe, any library, any school, any college campus, and bring up SA2Go, and we could lock it into that area through various technologies that are available through the internet, and immediately give them countrywide accessibility. That's not revolutionary. If that's not revolutionary, Rick, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. It definitely opened up avenues, you know.
I mean, get excited, blind people. This is cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is really cool, man. And if my company hadn't brought it to market and somebody else had, I'd be leading the parade saying, man, this is cool. This is really, really freaking cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I've enjoyed using the product here. And
you're at home.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not testing it exactly in the best area, but, you know.
Dude, think, Rick, think about it. Think about walking into let's just put it in some real world terms, okay? Let's just say you're not a globetrotter by any sense of the word. You seem to be, from the times we've talked, you seem to be a pretty laid back guy who likes to kind of hang out at home, play with his computers, and do his podcasts. And but you know, I'm sure you have family in other parts of the country that from time to time you may need to go fly to visit.
Right.
And of course, in the usual fashion of today's airlines, nobody or very few people fly direct anymore. You always stop through somewhere. Well, imagine if you could stop through somewhere, and in that airport, there are public computers. You could just walk into that computer, bring up Essay to Go, and, you know, maybe you need a little sighted help to pay for it. Fine. So what? Now you bring up Essay to Go, and bingo, man, you've got accessibility right there. And you're not walking around like a blind pack mule carrying a bunch of stuff on your back to try. Here's my accessibility solution. You know,
yes.
I mean, it, you're like Jacob Marley, dude, running around with, you know, Jacob Marley from a Christmas Carol, dragging all your accessibility behind you. That's not the case here. We lowered that bar by providing access to our technology on a U3-enabled thumb drive. Now we even lower it some more by, I'm thinking about what I'm saying here, and is it, did we raise the bar? Did we lower the bar? Who cares? We just changed the whole spec of things by providing the methodologies. Look, it's very straightforward. Think of Essay to Go as another way, another delivery method for excess technology. And here it's through one of the most widely available spectrums on the planet, and that's through the internet. That's cool. That's revolutionary. Regardless of what people may think. You know, I think it's cool, and I have a whole lot of people that agree with me.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the same thing, too. Okay, this leads right into the next question, actually. You've stated here and on main menu that somebody can walk up to any computer and use Essay to Go.
Pretty bold statement.
Yeah. Okay, on these different public computers and stuff, they all have, you know, means to not allow third-party software.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do, you know, about all these, firewalls and different things that people are going to run into out in the, you know, world? How does Essay to Go cope with this?
Well, first of all, a home firewall like Cygate or like AVG or Zone Alarm or anything, they're much more than a firewall, Rick. A firewall in the conventional sense of the word is generally a piece of equipment that stands guard to make sure that IP traffic, just regular kinds of internet traffic, how they flow in and out of a computer or an organization, right?
Right.
What these home solutions do is basically when you install them, they take a picture of what you've got running on your system and say, we know what this is, we know what this is, we know what this is. Oh, we don't know what this is. Do you like this, Rick? Look, we found this thing trying to get out to the internet. Do you know what it is? Okay, if you know what it is, then it's cool with you, so it's cool with us. We'll add it to our allow list.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So
right.
What they are is actually monitoring everything. That's not what corporate firewalls do. That's not what public computer safety does. They can't. They basically
right.
say but what they do, on the other hand, is say, Rick, software can't get into here, 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 and here, but everything else is open. Okay, and as long as there are only a couple of very vital parts to the Windows operating system that software shouldn't, if it's shouldn't get its little claws into, to mess around with. Okay, and that's the registry, the Windows folder, and the program files folder. And in some cases, certain parts of the documents and settings folders. Okay, we don't go into any of those. We go into temporary areas that are swept clean when our software is cleaned out. We use the same stuff that Flash uses. We use the same stuff that any of these Java applets that you use in web pages do. I mean, granted, you can turn up the security settings on IE to not allow SA to go to run. But you know what? Shockwave's not going to work. Flash isn't going to work. A whole lot of eye candy isn't going to work. And we live in a predominantly sighted world, and sighted folks are going to get kind of frustrated when they can't use things like Skype and all that stuff in public places. I mean, this is the way it is. And especially when you mention, you know, developing countries, dude, people don't have computers at home there. You know, this is all they have. So
they're going to walk into an internet cafe or something.
That's right. If you can't use MSN Messenger, if you can't use AIM, if you can't use ICQ, people are going to get really frustrated. What we've done is we've made SA2Go to run in those spaces. It's very straightforward and very simple. Not much rocket science there.
So the product isn't going to have a problem running, say, in a library where they don't allow you to install anything or out in a
Rick, we don't install anything even when we install.
Okay.
When we run off of a key, or we run, and this is the biggest thing, and the biggest thing that I've been torn apart by other AT companies and things like that. This is why we pound the pavement, we pound the drums about we don't use any kind of hooks and hacks to get into your registry. We don't use any kind of video chaining, any kind of mirror drivers. We refuse to touch the integrity of your system, and this further proves it.
Okay. Well, that basically, you're very confident then that the vast majority of these public computers are going to be accessible by SA2Go.
Rick,
would you say 100%, 90%?
I stake my life on it, simply because my life is paid for by this company. If I don't sell product and this company doesn't work, my kids don't eat, right?
Right.
So I'm literally staking the life of my company on it. I can't say 100%. Again, that would be awfully arrogant. That's right up there along with saying it requires no training. But Rick, it works on a lot. You know, right now with current adaptive technology solutions, it's all or nothing. Go use your current adaptive technology solution at a coffee shop. Go try.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's not going to work.
Any of them. I don't care what they are. I don't need to name them here, and I'm not going to go down the list because I'm not here to disparage other adaptive technologies, because I think that they're doing a great job. But the fact is, let's call a spade a spade. There is not an adaptive technology product on the market right now that is currently for sale that you can take and plug into a public computer and use out of the box. Period. None. Except for Serotech products.
Right. So,
and if I'm wrong, I'll publicly apologize for that. But I'm not. This is my market. I know it well.
Great. Okay, well, that definitely answers that question. You had said earlier.
Are you shocked, Rick, that I'm so adamant about my position?
Oh, no, certainly not.
Oh, okay. No, you sound a little taken aback.
No. No, I agree with you.
We're in a very informal session here, Rick. This is just two friends talking about, you know, about what one other guy is doing. You've got a bunch of questions that you want to ask, and I'm answering. I'm not sitting here trying to play politically correct. Nothing.
Oh, no. I know that.
You know what I'm saying? This is not posturing. This is not radio. This is not any of that. We're having a little coffee chat, you and me.
No, I don't want it to be political.
Absolutely. So if I get a little excited and a little zealous about what I'm doing, that's just me, dude. So I apologize for being
excited. Not a problem. You had said earlier that SA2Go supports IE. I've had quite a few questions about, does it support other browsers? And if not, why? And I think you basically answered that.
At this time, Serotech has a browser solution that will be disappearing in the future, in the near future, but not quite right now. And it is based on the Mozilla engine. which is, as you may or may not know, or your listeners may or may not know, is what Firefox bases their engine on. Once we phase that browser out, we will be bringing out access to Firefox. Look, folks, I don't know about other blind people. I've played with Firefox with other AT solutions, and I'm not impressed. I don't find it to be any more rich or less rich than IE. I'm not going to sit here and jump into the me too. You know why sighted people like it, Rick? Because it's got a gazillion different plugins that do great for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that's it, dude. There's nothing else. There's nothing else that has just turned me on about Firefox, because I can't use a majority of those plugins because they're not accessible. So who gives a damn?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So Why bother? So, you know, to sit here and pontificate about how this adaptive technology or that adaptive technology supports Firefox, who gives a rip? It doesn't matter. The browser I support is available on every freaking computer that's put out there. That's what I'm concerned about. I want accessibility everywhere, not some places. So I'm not gonna take funding away from supporting the number one browser in the market to support the number two just because blind people want to play me too. You know, that just doesn't make sense to me. And you know what? I run the company, so I make that decision. If my customers say different, then I'll listen to my customers. But up to this point, that's been and not one customer has come and said, after they're explained that, has come and said, you know, Cowell, you're wrong about that. I disagree. And I hope that this stirs up some controversy and some discussion, because I want to hear what people have to say. I want to be debated. I'm not here to be people's friend. I'm here to be a provider of adaptive technology. And if that ticks you off and that makes me make you think and make me question how you do things, so be it. That's okay.
I'm sure that statement will cause lots of comments.
Well, that's okay. I'm not here to be people's friend. I'm here to sell them AT that works. And that's going to tick some people off, because I'm not here to just pat people on the back and say, great, great. Have other adaptive technology companies done a great job? Heck yeah. Are they falling short? Some of them are. Some of them are still out there innovating. They know who they are. The community knows who they are. I don't need to sit here and say who's who. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here to sell Cerotech.
Sure.
And
sure.
Cerotech is the undisputed, you know, creator of this technology and of other innovative technologies like Remote Access Manager or Remote Incident Manager, which are the only products on the planet that give give IT professionals even a glimmer of hope at having access to remote systems that give IT professionals that are blind access to remote systems in a fully interactive manner. I mean, there is no without installing IT on the without installing AT on the other side.
Right.
And that's, again, it's one of the things that we do because we understand our market and we understand the needs of it, because we want to build a community of blind professionals. Okay, we want blind people to go as far as they can go. And we, as blind people, need to take care of each other. That's what it's all about.
All right. I agree. You know,
I mean, this is a great forum, you know. This whole podcast thing is a great forum, because, you know, if people don't like it, they can just turn this podcast off. To say Calvo's a jerk, he's an self-indulgent jerk at that, I don't care. You know, or people can say, you know, wow, this is cool, you got to listen to this and pass this on to people, and it will be immortalized. 20 years from now, people say, listen to that Calvo guy, what a jerk he was, or listen to that Calvo guy, what a visionary he was. One way or the other, that's fine, it's my opinion, and, you know, I'm 39 today, and when I was 29, I said some stupid stuff that I look back at and say, man, I shouldn't have said that crap. That was really stupid. And now at 39, I say, wow, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Maybe at 30, 49, I'll look back and say, man, maybe I shouldn't have been as overzealous. But the way I feel today, okay, the day right, you know, June, what is today? June 27th, or 29th, 2007, as we sit right here talking on Skype and having a conversation about what makes a difference to me and what our technology is going to do for our community, this is how I feel. That may be a little different in about 5 years when I grow up a little bit more.
And that's true. You know, podcasting and the internet are continually changing. So
But dude, I'm human, so that's right. Okay.
So what are the future plans for SA2Go? For perhaps working on other platforms than the Windows desktop, you know, since the internet's always changing and, you know, everybody seems to be switching to all these portable devices and everything, and people say that, you know, the desktop computer is a dinosaur.
You know, the irony of that question, Rick, is, of course, people have already criticized what we're currently doing, yet they, in the same breath, they say, what are you going to do next? Hello, we want to fix what we've got right now. We're not worried about tomorrow. We're worried about right now. We're in a public beta. We want you to kick the tires. We want you to beat the hell out of the product. Make sure it works. Tell us where it doesn't work. Hold us accountable to where it doesn't work and make us explain why it doesn't work there. And if there's a solution, have us fix it. If there isn't a solution, then have us come to terms with it and say, folks, hey, it's not going to work there. You know, and I've never been one to say, you know, to sell people a pipe dream and say, well, We may just make it work one day and leave people. It's either possible or it's right. not. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
and so I don't want to address other platforms right now. I'm concerned with the Windows platform and with what we've got in current public beta. People mm-hmm. don't know what all the hoopla is about. Go to SATOGO.com and go check out the future. I mean, that's what it's all about.
So you're not opposed, you know, at some point of moving elsewhere, but right now you're just, you know, concentrating on the Windows platform.
Right now we're focused on Windows, and we currently have no plans for other platforms. Okay. We're obsessed with working on this platform.
Okay, I have some questions now that basically, I guess, just deal with questions about SA2Go capabilities and, I guess, things, you know, people would like to see in the future. The first question is, somebody had asked whether or not SA2Go will have any kind of a dictionary capability, you know, for correcting things that the speech synthesizer doesn't pronounce right.
Again, that's one of those things that we're trying to do on, I mean, Rick, for forever, adaptive technology has been something that has put the onus of configuration and setup on the user. I believe that we are approaching an era of computing, and this has already happened for the mainstream, where people turn computers on and they don't need instructions and they don't need pre-configuration and they don't need all these things. They just look at the screen and they know what to do. If we can't get there as a community, if we can't get to where AT providers don't make up for their inability to provide access to this or access to that by saying, well, if you guys want it, go configure it. You know, I mean, you can be assured that you can look at the top 20 programs in PC Magazine and we're going to work with those. We're going to be putting in scripting. We're going to be putting in dictionaries and things like that. Down the road, later this year, as a matter of fact, for those niche areas. But it's a cop out for a company to just say, well, there's a scripting language, so you don't like the way it works? Go script it. No. That's not what you pay me for. That's not what you pay me ongoing, you know, maintenance for.
Right.
You pay me to go listen to you and to provide what you need. You don't, if my product provides good, you know, responsiveness and good pronunciation out of the box, what do you need a dictionary for? The question should probably be, what do you expect to do to make system access speak better? You see what I'm saying? It's like walking into the mechanic and saying, my car is making a funny noise and I think it's one of the cylinders. As a matter of fact, I'm sure it's a cylinder that's making a bad noise. Well, you're an attorney. What do you know about cars? It's the same thing. You know, folks, I appreciate those of us in the community that are geekier than others. But we don't believe that providing a user a dictionary is necessarily the end-all be-all answer to pronunciation. We work with the providers of our speech synthesis. We work with our programmers to make sure that those funky words are spoken right. It brings to mind the time I was working customer service and I was doing collections. So, of course, people weren't real happy to hear from me. and my current adaptive technology at the time called Mr. O'Connor, Mr. Oakner. Well, Mr. O'Connor was not very happy for me to keep calling him Mr. Oakner. And, you know, so, I mean, believe me, we want to make that automatic versus stick a reality right. more and more every day. And we don't expect to do that by providing the onus of configuration upon our user. That's just wrong.
Okay.
I mean, it's nice if they have the option, mm-hmm. but it's not. It should not be par for the course. Well, Rick, if you want it that way, do it yourself.
But, you know, with all the speech engines out there, every single one of them will say something, you know, differently. I have, I guess, an example I would use is one of the speech engines I was using the other day with SA2Go. My mailing lists, I have an abbreviation for free lists. I say FL. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the speech synthesizers would get to those, and it would say Florida.
Sure.
And
sure. No, and that, and I understand. See, and this is again, this is where you being a bit of a geek yourself, Rick, you do that, and we do need to provide a methodology for you to be able to configure our technology mm-hmm. to work like that, but. How would you feel if I said, well, Rick, that's the only way. If you don't like the way – you know, Rick, I'm not even going to bother trying to make it say Oakner as O'Connor. If you have a problem at work, Rick, with Oakner, then you should go into your dictionary and write Oakner equals O space Connor. Is that fair? You know, what you're talking about is configuring it
no,
to make it
no, that's not
you
fair to say that's the only way to do it, no.
Yeah, and that's I guess, my point, is I agree with the fact that we need something like that in system access, and it's not that we can't, it's we haven't.
Right.
At our company, it's – I mean, come on, you know, the system access has done more in 2 years than a lot of adaptive technologies have done for a long time, and we're going to continue to do more. And you know, and as we get more and more input from the community, as I mean, our community input from SA2Go has been phenomenal. Hundreds and hundreds of people have signed up, and we've gone through thousands of emails of feedback. We love it. We want it. Bring it on. Criticize the product. Kick the hell out of it. Criticize it. Say it's a piece of crap. Tell us what your better product would be. We want to do that. It's your product, man.
Mm-hmm. So how are you handling the, you know, I've had a couple of people ask me, how do you handle the load of all these new people? How are you going to handle, say, 50,000 new people using SA2Go on your networks?
Well, first of all, there's not 50,000 people testing it right now, and it's free. So the bottom line is that when it gets paid for, we expect less of an over, you know, of an in stream than that. But trust me that with more customers comes more income. With more income comes more hires. And with more hires, guess what? Guess where those hires come from, Rick? They come from our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 80% of the staff at Serotech are blind. The only people we keep around the CITES, we keep Matt around because Matt can see some and he has to look at Windows to be able to program it. And then we keep the other side of guys around, you know, to count the money and, you know, and make sure that the IRS forms are filled out and all that stuff, you know. But outside of that, you know, blind people rule here at Serotech.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about, man.
So you don't see a problem with future growth.
I'm blind, man. What do I possibly see? I don't believe that we've not had any problem. And unfortunately, as sad, and I find this to be sad, nothing explodes in this community overnight. Nothing. Everything kind of ramps up.
Right.
So we've got plenty of growth time. I mean, being serious and putting the zealous away for a minute,
mm-hmm.
we've got plenty of growth time. And we're not worried about, you know.
That is the thing, though. You're right. This community just won't pick something up and go with it.
It's not like the iPhone.
No, that everybody wants.
Except for us, we're excluded. Apple doesn't like us.
So
Tell me if that's not a hypocritical company.
It's funny. It's really funny.
Tell me if that's not a hypocritical company. And yes, Mike Calvo said Apple is a hypocritical company that makes its developers feel like scum for not doing accessibility and then doesn't put accessibility into its new products or its cash cow, the iPod. You hypocrites. You guys should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah, that is funny. You know, we do accessibility on our end, but, you know, the heck with you Windows people.
Yeah, well,
are you iPod users?
They only did accessibility for iTunes, my friend. But once you take the thing out of the cradle, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, on their computers, you know, they're toting, oh, you can turn us on and we have accessibility right out of the box.
You know, I got one word for Apple. It's called Telecommunications Act. Hello. But anyway, that's a whole different podcast.
But
see, now, Rick, now you've made me, you know, cut out of my shell and start being me.
It's a good question, though, because I wasn't really going to ask the question. I kind of scratched it out because it just causes so much trouble in the community. But, you know, people are so critical when something new comes out to kind of jump on it, pounce on it, beat on it, and say, oh, we can't use this. This isn't so-and-so, or, you know, this isn't such-and-such a product. You know, we don't want to use this. This doesn't do. Why do you think the community is so critical like that?
Because they've been let down. I mean, people come and they sell us a bill of goods. You know, but you know what? You know what's interesting, Rick, about that? Is that while people could come along throughout the last 10, 15, 20 years and promise us the sky and adaptive technology. Let me tell you something. If somebody sells somebody a piece of crap AT product in the UK today, I'll know about it in the next 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if somebody screws a blind guy over in Montana somewhere, okay, or in Canada somewhere, I'll know about it in 20 minutes. And I can let everybody know, and so can you with your hundreds of listeners. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the skeleton's out of the closet. Nobody
can
BS us any longer. You know, that's the thing. And we need to realize that there's power in us. There's power in our mouths. There's power in our opinion. And really, and if AT companies want to survive, they better start to listen to the opinion of their users. And that's what we're here to do.
I don't like to bash or jump on anything and pounce on it and beat on it. I go out and try it and use it. And if it don't work for me, then, hey, I'll say it doesn't work for me.
but you know what? Everybody looks at things differently. Some of us have just been beat down, knocked down, dragged out, kicked around, and everything is the cup is half empty, dude.
Yeah.
And then you got to – and even if the cup is half empty – you know, the cup's got a hole in it, you know?
Yeah, that's
the thing. And by the time I get the drink out of it, it's going to be, you know, even emptier. So, and you got to understand that that's just us, man. That's just us. We're blind people that are survivors, okay? But it's time, folks, to start understanding that as blind people, we have the right to live as well. We don't just have the right to survive. Stop eking out an existence. Start living your life. Start living the digital lifestyle. And that's what we're here to do. We're not just concerned about 9 to 5. We're not just worried about your job. We want your personal life. We want you to have a full and enriched life online, you know, because online plays such a huge part in everybody's life now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, where would you be without the internet, man?
Lost.
Do you know they even have blind internet porn now? I'm waiting for blind descriptive video, you know, for porn, you know.
Well,
I'm kidding, guys. I frankly, my views on
believe
porn,
it or like, not, it's out
it's like
there.
Like taking me to a candy store and showing me the candy and telling me I can't have it. Why bother?
Yeah. Yeah, believe it or not, it's out there.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've heard of it. It's hilarious to me. So, I mean, you know, hey, when the porn industry starts to look at you as a market, you've arrived, dude. So I wish Apple would understand that, you know. But anyway, today's just the day of the iPhone, and I'm just so fed up with iPhone crap all over everywhere, and you know, and they just don't care. Yes, there's other solutions out there. We've got people that have done some great mobile phone solutions. The people at ScanSoft and the people at Code Factory have done great solutions, great innovations. And even the folks at Dolphin have done awesome things to give us mobility access. To you, Apple, we don't need it. It would be nice if you finally, but just because we don't need it because we have other solutions doesn't mean that you have the right to go breaking the law. And that's what you're doing with this iPhone, is breaking the law. And I hope somebody calls into accountability for it. Anyway, mm-hmm. We get off that soapbox.
Had another question. Somebody was asking about being able to change volume on the fly with system access to go.
No, right now you have to do it through the sound card. Those are little features that the more we hear about it from people, as you can imagine, if we hear it from one person, it's not going to take as much priority as if we hear it from, 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've only heard that from like one or two people. And generally it's not very possible. I'm sure technically it's possible, but right now with our current architecture, I we're just not doing it.
Okay.
But never say never.
So what you're saying is, if somebody wants something, definitely give feedback back to you guys.
Feedback is the only way we do things. And we don't do things by and I'll be very candid. We don't do things by, inevitably at every gathering I go to, there's some blind guy or gal that comes up and says, I'd buy your product if it only did this. And I look at them or face my face to them and try and focus my prosthetics at them as best I can. And say, so what you're telling me is, this is, and I named the feature, all you do with your computer. You don't do anything else. You don't do email. You don't do internet. You never leave the house. As a matter of fact, what are you doing here? And because for anyone to tell me I'd buy your product if it only did this, they're not planning on buying my product to begin with. I listen to people who have invested in my future by investing in theirs. And that I don't think I could be any more candid than that.
Yeah.
And is that going to make me popular? No. I'm not here to be a popular guy today. I think I said it earlier. I'm here so people can hear where Calvo's head is really at. You know what I'm saying? And the people that know me, the people that know me either love me or hate me. And that's okay. That's fine. But whether you love me or you hate me, there's one thing you're going to know, is that is I wake up every morning and I go to sleep every night thinking about accessibility and how I can provide more of it. So love me, hate me, think I'm a jerk, think I'm an opinionated blah, 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 use any four-letter expletive you feel like it, that's okay. That's okay. If one of my friends dies, I'll call you. But, otherwise, it's fine with me. I'm here to be a real person, not some talking head, and as that real person, I hope I'm approached by other real people who say, man, I really dig what you're saying, and this is what I believe, and, or, dude, you're just totally off the mark, you're whack, you're crazy, and go back under the rock you crawled out from under. That suits me just fine as well.
Yeah, you're going to have that.
Oh, I've had it already, man. You can't be in this community and not get thick skin, Rick. I'm talking to the whipping boy of the accessibility list. Come on now. Take that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm surprised you and I haven't been accused of being lovers yet.
Yeah, that'll be next week.
Yeah, right. Scandalous. Yeah. Anyway.
I had a question that somebody had asked about, let me see if I can get it right here in my head.
Okay.
Somebody was asking why you reserve remote access only for the system access mobile network.
Subscribers? Oh, that's an easy one. Because, okay, When you do a remote connection, whether it be to your home computer, to another person's computer out in the field, you're going through our servers. Okay, our servers are actually allocating bandwidth and providing a secure pipe for you and that person or that remote computer to communicate through. You're using our bandwidth. Bandwidth costs money. So therefore, if you're not a subscriber to our network, then we can't allocate bandwidth to you because you're not paying for bandwidth. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me.
Well, and that should make sense to anybody else. No tiki, no laundry. No,
right.
You know, it's very simple. You know, if you want to do remote access, you have to pay for remote bandwidth. It's very simple.
How much is the system access mobile network cost people for a subscription?
It's $129 a year, and that includes all product updates for all different Serotech products that you may have. Okay. Anything.
But does that include use of system access to go in that price?
Of course.
Or,
okay. Of course.
Okay. So
yeah, if you are a system access,
so if they're paying for it, they've got it.
Yeah. If you, for example, if you own System Access Mobile right now, which you pay $499 for, okay. And you put that on up to two desktop computers. You put System Access, the desktop version, on up to two different computers. You have a U3 key in your pocket running the System Access product. And you have a CD in your wallet, one of these little, you know, CDs, or you have one in your backpack. Okay? All those licenses are $499 altogether. Okay? Now, if you don't want access to our network, and this is where what the network does, the network ties all that stuff together. If you're out on the road and you plug in your key, or you use the CD, or even log on with System Access to go and want to connect back to any of your computers, any of those two desktops that I told you about a minute ago, You need bandwidth to do that. Okay. So you pay us for that. You pay us $129 a year. Not only are you going to get the capability of tying all your stuff together in what we call a personal area network, okay, But you're also going to get access to our news, our weather, our DVS stuff, our radio stations, our email, blah, blah, blah. And you're going to get access to – you're going to get all your product updates. Imagine what a novel concept. Whether Serotech makes – one product, System Access, or System Access, our other scanning product that allows you to scan documents, all that stuff. We give you one flat rate, and all you do is pay that one rate, and you get all of our services, including our updates. If you don't want to do that, and you don't want to tie your computers together, and you don't have the need for SA to go, then it's very simple. You pay us our money for the System Access mobile product, which is $499. And if you just want it on desktops, you can have up to two desktops for $399. Okay? And they're totally independent, and you just pay $60 a year for updates. And if we put one update out a year, that's what you get. Which, that's kind of a joke around Serotech. We never do one update. You may be lucky if you get one update a week. sometimes you get two or three. Because we're a web-centric company, we are constantly doing updates. We don't wait until the next big product release to announce some patch fix for something. We do it when we hear about it. And if there's one thing that I can say that we've seen all over the place is, I told Serotech about this problem, and within a couple of days, I got an update and it was fixed. And that's because we don't believe in waiting for major product releases to fix a problem. If it's a problem, we are going to hear about it. The ability to be web-centric the way we are and to have the type of update system that we have allows us to find, isolate, and squash bugs very quickly because we keep most of our users on the same level. If you've got 50 different versions of a product, this version does this and that version does that, A, it becomes a support nightmare. And B, no matter how much you make on maintenance, there's never enough because, you know, you've still got the obligation to that old user some way along the line. It's easier. It's funny. And this is a true statement. I remember back when when we cut Windows 98 support, and don't try and call me, folks, because of this, because we don't do it anymore. But we had a couple of longtime users that were with us for a couple of years, and we said we're eliminating we're eliminating Windows 98. And they were so angry, they were livid. And I said, look, I've got to do one of two things. And what was that? And they said, what was that? I said, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to either invite you to leave the network, which is going to really be sad because you've been with us for a couple of years and we've been doing Windows 98 and we want you to stick around. We want you to update the operating system. I can't afford the operating system update. We bought a bunch of operating systems licenses and we sent it to people. I said, here, update it. You know why? People say, well, that's insane, Mike. Why are you going to do that? No, it makes perfect sense. Do you know how much money it would cost for us to continue to support those people if both in development and end user problems with the old Windows 98 product? Do you know how much also how lost those people would have been if we were their only method of accessibility and we just said, well, you know what? You're screwed now. Sorry, we're not supporting your operating system anymore. That's just not right. And that's what we did. Did it cost us? Sure. Were we a small company? Sure. We still are a small company. But that's what keeps – and those people, that's why we don't have as high a churn rate as other people have in the internet industry. And our users generally stick around. We don't have people coming and going. It's not a big revolving door at Cerotech. A lot of people stick around because we do what our customers need us to do to keep them as customers. You know, I mean, I'm not – again, at the beginning of this rather entertaining and comical podcast, I said accessibility is a right, and I compared it to air. You know, is air an option? Neither is accessibility. People have the right to turn on their computers and have them talk, okay, if you're blind. And if you're deaf, you have the right to turn that computer on and have Braille. And you shouldn't have to depend on a government agency to deliver it. So it's up to us. If we want to make a market of this, we need to, as I've said on our blog, we need to stand on the shoulders of giants. People like Ted Henter, people like Doug Joffrey, they're giants, man. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for both of those gentlemen. I've used both of their products for many years, and my respect and admiration goes out to them. And what we're doing at Cerotech is actually a tribute to their greatness, because what they're doing and what they continue to do, you know, is awesome. And I really am excited to be a part of a community that has choice. I don't want to be the only choice, man. I don't want to be a monopoly. Why? I want Doug to make millions. I want Freedom to make millions. I want everybody. There's enough of us to go around, dude. And there's more of us to come because people are getting older. So there's a lot more of us. So keep up the innovation, man. Let's just build a community of winners, not of survivors. Does that make sense?
Yep, certainly. You know, I use everybody's products here myself, you know, and each one of them fits a need.
Hey, believe it or not, I hate to admit, simply because I haven't had a chance to have Matt do it, I use JAWS for editing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the Cerotech CEO uses JAWS for Windows for editing.
Hey,
oh my gosh!
I'm sure we all use everybody else's products, you know.
But you know what? I'm blind, and as a blind person, I use whatever tools available to me.
Exactly.
Okay, so I don't care. I got no shame in the game, brother. I don't care about saying, hey, I use this product to do this and that product to do that.
That's how I do it, too, but there's so many out there that say, oh, if you don't use such and such, you know, well, that's just wrong. You know,
you know, so.
But I use everything at my disposal.
Oh, you're just an AT whore. That's what you are.
Hey, like you said, we got to do what we got to do to get by.
You said a bad word. Is this a rated PG podcast?
No, I don't suppose so. I don't think it's nothing anybody hasn't heard before. Okay, I think I got two more questions here. What about, I know you can't really announce pricing yet because you don't have a firm price structure down.
Correct.
But What about for, say, libraries, school systems, things like that, that want to use SA2Go in their systems? Are you going to offer some kind of a site license?
It's not been monetized, Rick. I don't mean to be cagey or catty or whatever.
Right.
It's just not been monetized. Let's just say that for the average blind person buying SA2Go as a service, which it will be, right, we are shooting for pennies a day.
Right.
Okay. You know, we don't know. We don't know. We don't know what, I mean, I've gotten more signups for trials in the last 2 weeks than I've gotten almost in the last 5 years. Okay, that's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm, that means
that means that we've gotten a response that you can't believe, and that people want this product. Okay, so we want to provide it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think that anybody, any other AT company, needs to be afraid of it, because all this is going to do is enhance people's accessibility. This isn't out to take anybody's market share. This is not, you know, this is a set of flip flops that you can wear around instead of your sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, you know, who runs around in flip flops all day?
Right.
Can't, you know, so same thing. You can't use SA2Go. I mean, if put into a bind and you needed something to cover your feet, by all means, wear your flip flops wherever you go. But, you know, but in a real world scenario, you wouldn't wear flip flops everywhere you go, and in a real world scenario, you wouldn't use a system access to go everywhere you go either. And, you know, everything you do and
right.
Everything you do.
I think a lot of people confuse that. I think a lot of people, well, why do I want to use system access to go? Why do I want to replace it with something else? You know, exactly what you just said. You switch back and forth. You wear different shoes for different occasions, and you use different screen or system access technologies for different things you need to do.
Yeah, but remember, Rick, that has not always been the case. Unfortunately, historically, blind people have gotten one shot, dude. You go into your rehab agency of choice, or you
right.
go and you finally saved up your couple thousand bucks for your AT solution, and by God, you better make sure that it walks and talks and sings and dance, because you're not going to have anything else.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That
Been
those
there,
days
done
are
that.
Those days are over, man. Those days are over. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can go out there and buy a cell phone, and you've got a couple of different choices for access technology for it, and they're all inexpensive enough to where if you save your pennies and you work and you do what Calvo wants us all to do, and that is to go out and either get a job with a company that'll hire blind people, or if nobody will hire you, then darn it, go out there and start something of your own. You got a big old captive market in the blindness community, you know. And I mean, you know, and that may bother some people, but whatever. I'm sure that the people that have been bothered by me have already tuned out by this time. You know, it really just, there's options, man. There's total options out there. And it's time for us to look at our lives the same way the mainstream does. Okay, the mainstream, I mean, come on, folks. The mainstream, you don't think that a mainstream or sighted person would much rather watch a movie on a 42-inch plasma at home? Yet they're squinting looking at their iPods. That doesn't, they don't say, well, I already have a 42-inch plasma at home, so I'm not going to buy an iPod because I don't want it, because I can watch my 42-inch plasma at home. Well, hello, what about when you're on a plane?
Yeah.
What about when you're sitting in line at the bank?
Yep.
You know, what about when you're, it's the same thing here. I mean, it's you know, it's looking at your life and saying, where does this fit into it? Say, okay, I've got 10 segments or 15 segments or 2 segments of my life that this will fit into. Is it worth what these people are charging for me to invest in this technology? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like you said, you know, the sighted world has all these options. They go pick up whatever MP3 player they want, you know, that fits their needs for wherever, or whatever cell phone or iPod or this or that. So, yeah, why don't we in the blind community do the same thing?
Well, it's because we've gotten used to a mindset, and it takes a long time, and also, I mean, I'll be very candid, there are very few people in the AT industry and AT companies that will sit down and talk the way I've talked today because they're not one of us. And that makes it difficult. Are you there?
Yep. Sorry. Okay. Yeah. You're right, because a lot of people won't.
Well, that it makes it difficult, because if I sit here and even joke around and make jokes about blind people and things like that, I'm blind, man. I can say blinks are a pain in the neck. And we are. I'm the lead pain in the neck amongst the blinks. I'm the first one to admit I am a pain in the neck. No, I'll go further than that. I'm a pain in the ass. How's that? Okay? You know, but I'm a blind guy. And that's just the way that us blind people are sometimes. It's the way people are sometimes. But if we want to just put labels on people, that's the way we blind people are. And unfortunately, you know, there are very few AT companies right now that have enough blind people that can sit down with us as a community and say, hey, these are some of the problems. If you don't like my opinion, please call me out on them. And let's talk about the issues, because I want to be a community builder. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to make my money and go away from this community until I feel that I'm not of any use to it anymore. And I'm not knocking those who have. I mean, there are some people, it's tiresome to work in this community. Blind people are hard to satisfy, Rick.
Oh yeah. I mean,
consumers, I know. consumers in general are hard to satisfy.
Yes.
But imagine some of the things that are pulled off on blind people are preposterous. I walk into a restaurant with no braille menus and I'm told that, hey, we'll have the waitress read it to you. And I say to the manager, well, was the waitress told on her hiring day in her interview that if a blind guy came in wanting to buy food and was a pain in the neck because we didn't have braille menus, that she would be required to take time from serving other people and making tips, that she was going to be forced to read him that menu? You know, how much intimacy am I going to be able to have with my wife and looking over the menu with some waitress reading it to me? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And how bothered is she going to be because she's got to read it to this blind guy? So, you know, and these are the things that we can talk about as blind people, because again, I'm one of us, you know, and that's what the biggest thing is. People make a whole lot of claims about me on lists and things like that because they don't know me. You know what I'm saying? But This is a great medium for people to know me. I'm opinionated, I think I'm right, and I'll continue to think I'm right until you tell me I'm wrong and you back it up with proof. and if you make sense to me, fine. I'm not in a vacuum. I'm not right for everything. But all I can start with is the hypothesis, and I'm a salesman at heart. So whatever my hypothesis is, I'm going to be really zealous about, and I'm going to sell it hard, and I'm going to debate it with you, and I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to question you. And I expect the same back from you. As a matter of fact, I'll respect you for that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's
right. It's always fine to question somebody as long as you do it in a reasonable manner.
Dude, I'm in no way an authority. All I can tell you is, you know what? Blind, I got
39. But you don't just make a blanket statement, though, and just have no proof to back it up.
No.
Too many people do that.
I'm blind. I've been blind for 39 years, and I can give you my experiences based on 39 years of experience. Mm-hmm. There have been people who have been blind for 60 years
And
have told me, Calvo, you got your head up your behind. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't remember. You think that it's difficult now. What about the days when we only had a slate and stylus and blind people were weaving baskets? And I tell them, dude, I don't know what the hell you're talking about because I wasn't born then. I wasn't raised in that mentality.
And that's my problem. I don't have the history either. I only have, coming up on 3 years now, and I don't understand all these things either. So
yeah, well, but that's okay though. We you know, the rest of us will, you know,
clue me in real quick,
kicking and screaming, and bring you crashing to reality. You know, and which brings me to an interesting point, because that's something that we're going to see more and more, Ricks, as the years go by now. Mm-hmm. Because Americans and Europeans and just people in the world is getting grayer. The world is getting older. And due to the way that people live their fast-paced lifestyles and their crappy food and their lack of exercise and all that other stuff, people are getting blinder quicker. Okay, you know, got type 2 diabetes out there rampant. Yep. You've got other things, macular degeneration. I don't care what Paul Harvey says about this new vitamin that stunts macular degeneration. Does that mean that we're going to stop because some quack came up with some vitamins that may stop or may slow down macular degeneration? I think that bottle says that it's not endorsed by the FDA, which means it's a vitamin supplement. So don't believe the hype, folks. If you want to take that vitamin, I don't think the vitamins are going to hurt you. But don't go basing the fact that if you've got macular degeneration, you've got a darn good chance of being blind. And it's up to us, the people that have been blind all of our lives, to make people like you, Rick, feel like you're welcome, make you feel like you're a part of the community, and not beat your ass for ignorance, okay, as to how things are.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be very candid with you. We need to help you understand what the world is and to help you understand that blindness, while it is a challenge, it's an inconvenience. It's not the end of the world.
No, it's certainly not the end of the world. I agree with you 100% there, and I go every day.
Sure, you didn't feel that way the day after you found out you were blind, though.
Actually, I haven't. I've always really tried to stay upbeat, and of course, as I learn more, then you know, certainly it's less and less of an inconvenience. But
sure. But no, and that's what it's all about, though, and that's why I think the internet is so awesome. It's because we can have candid conversations like this, because people can just listen to two blind guys, you know, sitting on Skype and talking crap. And maybe they've tuned out by now. Maybe other people have sat around and said, well, let me listen what these guys have to say next. You know, I certainly hope that we've provided entertainment. And, and hopefully
sure
along
have.
The way provided some information, too, you know.
I'm sure we have.
But I really believe in this medium, and I really believe that this is what's going to give us in the community a real way of being something, you know, and of making our community grow. And that community doesn't just mean here in the U.S. It means all over the world.
All over the world, right.
You know.
And the product certainly, you know, fits into that thought. You know, that System Access to Go is going to, you know, go with the internet. And it's, you know, it's just one more tool we'll have to, you know, hey, like you said, the sighted people, you know, they walk up to a library or a airport computer, walk up to it, put their money in it, and start using it. You know, why can't we?
No reason.
And this is definitely going to allow that.
No, it's certainly going to. It's certainly, if it doesn't allow it in 100% of the times, it's certainly going to allow it more than it did before.
Right, and like you said, there is no 100%.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I had one last question. Somebody asked me why, and I love this and I agree with it, but I understand why it's not. But why is eloquence not an option for SA to Go?
It's too big.
Yeah.
We use DEC because DEC is a – first of all, DEC is, you know, an DEC's old
small.
Player. It's an old player in this market. It's a staple to us as blind folks. Eloquence is a great product. But it's big. Yeah, you can have it on your cell phone, and yeah, you can have it on your pocket PC and all that stuff. Those versions are different than the versions that are available for the PC with its dependencies. And those PC dependencies are, you know, four megs or so. And we can't do that for SA to. We need something that's a couple hundred K, and that's what DEC Talk is.
Well, that. Oh, you're breaking up there a little bit.
Sorry about that.
You there? Okay. That's what I thought, and that makes perfect sense to me. You need to keep the footprint as small as possible.
Absolutely. The smaller the footprint, the quicker you get speech.
Yep.
So, you know, and in the future, just looking down the road, having Windows Vista. Become the premier, or having Windows Vista become the primary, and dominating operating system out there. in public places, we'll start using the Vista speech engine, which is much clearer than DEC or Eloquence. It sounds great, and it's right in Windows.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true.
You know, and one thing I will say, by the way, and I know I said before I don't want to talk about other platforms, but I will mention, we've got our eyes focused on Mac, too, with SA2Go. There really isn't much of a reason. It's just a matter of resources and time. So, you know, the Mac is certainly a possibility.
That would be interesting.
I think so.
That would be really interesting.
You know, I just, like I said before, I wish Apple would clean up his act and start doing as, you know, as not only as they say, but, you know, doing as they say for themselves. So, Rick, thank you for a great interview and a great time. I think it's been a blast.
Yeah, it's been fun. I've enjoyed it, and I want to thank you for doing it with me.
Hey, anytime,
and,
man.
Do you want
let's
to?
Let's get some stuff going on the list now. I want to see the comments.
Definitely. Do you want to give your site information and your blog address?
Sure. You can visit us on the web at www.serotech.com. And if you want to connect to our blog, it's http://blog.serotech.com, or you can just click off of our head, you know, off of our webpage there. You can read about all our products there. If you want to try this SA2Go product, the System Access to Go product, just visit www.satogo.com. And if you'd like to call us and harass us, please don't harass them too bad, because you have to go through one of them to talk to me. So if they see you're harassing, they won't let you through. It's 866-202-0520. And again, Rick, thanks for your time, man. I've really had a blast.
Yes.
And I hope we haven't ticked off too many people, but I hope that in this time of very straightforward talk, you guys have gotten a little bit more knowledge of who I am, who this company is, and where my head is at. And you may not like me. That's okay. Just understand where my head is at and judge for yourself. You know, I'm not here to defend who I am. I'm just here to show you who I am, and you make the choice. I refuse to be everybody's friend. I can't be everybody's friend. If you are everybody's friend, then you're wishy-washy.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you don't have a leg to stand on. I'm not here to be everybody's friend. Some people are going to disagree with me. You know, I think we can.